lost.
In my real name, not my Army name.
No, but I want to know your Army name.
Well, it's John.
Oh, what's your real name?
J.T. Cox Jr.
Okay, then I'll say J.T. Cox Jr., June 21st, 2006. They wouldn't let you go by J.T. in the Army?
Well, I went to Leavenworth to be inducted.
Mm-hmm.
I had my birth certificate and everything. Guy looked at it, and he said, well, we can't go with that in the Army. So your dad's named John, you're John.
Isn't that something? Because it was just an initial, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that was a good introduction for you into rules, I guess.
Well, it's just one of them stupid things.
Yeah?
Know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I still have trouble with businesses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the computer age. These stupid people running a computer that say you can't just put an initial in. Now, I know better than that.
Well, yeah, with a computer you can do most anything.
Yeah.
They just don't want to do it. Yeah. Okay, what I will do, we just have a series of questions that I ask everyone.
Okay.
And many times we'll branch off into other things. And then at one point I'll check to see that I have covered everything we want to. The first question is concerned with the start of World War II and Pearl Harbor. And how old were you? Do you remember hearing about the war? Do you remember hearing about Pearl Harbor and maybe what you, your parents, or the community
was thinking? Oh, yeah, I graduated from high school in 42.
Okay. All right. So you were a senior with Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what you were thinking or what your parents said? Or?
Well, I knew I was going to have to go to the Army.
You did.
What do you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was drafted in 43.
Okay.
And that took, you know. And I was in there for till October of 45. I got wounded twice.
Okay.
And
did you know, was there anyone else in your family that had gone into the military?
And my older brother, Jim.
And when did he go?
He went, I suppose he went in 42 or something. He's older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I'm 82 and he's 89.
Okay. And did... So you knew a little bit about the military experience from him? Okay.
All right. Well, I don't say that. I didn't, you know, you don't know nothing about the military service until you get in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my view.
Okay.
It ain't like what some people tell you.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's good.
He was in the Air Force, mm-hmm. ground crew of the Air Force. I was in the infantry, in the airborne. I was a parachute trooper, and I was also a glider trooper. I mean, I went in the gliders first, and then I joined the paratroopers.
Okay, all right. So you finished high school, and then you were drafted. And did you choose to go into the airborne, or did they put you there?
No.
Okay.
I was drafted, and they just put me in. I wound up in Camp McCall, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm, for your basic training?
Mm-hmm.
Could you maybe describe your basic training?
Tough. You know, a lot more walking and stuff than I ever realized I was ever going to do,
mm-hmm.
of course. And it was tough training.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to Tennessee on maneuvers. We was there for a few months and then went to Tennessee on maneuvers. And then after that, why... After maneuvers, they come around, they wanted everybody to join the paratroops. They want to do well with the gliders because they're bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I joined the paratroops, mm-hmm. but everybody didn't. Mm-hmm. And we had a mixed outfit.
Okay.
So the bad part about that was I went through all that training again.
The paratrooper. Mm-hmm. And you had trained on the gliders before.
Yeah.
Okay. How would they train you on those two things?
Well, the glider part is we flew, you know. The glider towed behind the mm-hmm. C-47 and so forth, and we trained. But, I mean, extensive walking and running and mm-hmm. You know, just training. And then jump training, we went through a major, we didn't, and most of them go to North Carolina for that. But Fort Bragg,
mm-hmm.
but we done it in Tennessee, and they put mock-up tires and so forth, and you got to jump out of them tires and go down a deal and so forth. Mm-hmm. And then you have to jump, of course. Mm-hmm.
And were you in charge of your own parachute as far as packing it? And
no.
Things? No.
They had packers.
Okay.
They had packers.
All right.
And I was a sergeant, had a light machine gun squad.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Now tell me what that means.
That means a 30 caliber air-cooled machine gun.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a leader. I had five guys, and a gunner, and assistant, and ammo bearers.
And then you would jump in, or, well, not jump in, jump.
Well, yeah.
Into an area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Two questions, and then we'll move on to your duty. Was it hard to take orders when you went into the Army?
Well, not really, because I knew what it was. I had a most of the vision of what it's going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a pretty nice cadre, that the older guys out of the 82nd Airborne that come in was our, we call them cadre, the top sergeant and so forth. And I had a nice guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And was it, or you were away from home for the first time, basically?
Yes.
And you were in with young men from all over the United States?
Right.
Was that easy, difficult, interesting?
Well, it's just like any other situation. Mm-hmm. And some guys are nice guys and some guys aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I wasn't a nice guy. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some guys liked me and some guys didn't.
Yeah.
That's life.
Well, that's true. Did you have free time at all during basic that you could... On weekends or anything like
that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'd have time off on Sunday, especially.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at first we couldn't go to town. All we could do is go to the beer garden and get soaked up.
Mm-hmm.
And then after we went through basic training, we got to go to town. And we went to various towns around in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then when you went to Tennessee... did you get to come home after Tennessee, or...?
I came home... between North Carolina and Tennessee.
Okay.
And then after we went to maneuvers, which is, you know, you're out there in the wilderness and moping around. So, and then we were given a furlough then.
Okay. Were you homesick at all?
I don't know. I guess I was. Mm-hmm. Probably. I never really dwelled on that
mm-hmm.
part.
You're probably too busy.
I was just... I guess I'm a survivor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and you knew what you had to do, and yeah, you did it. Okay, so after you were trained, Tennessee, then what happened?
Well, we stayed there for, I don't know, not too long. And then in August of 44,
mm-hmm.
we shipped out of New York and went to England.
Okay. And that was after D-Day had happened, after the Normandy invasion.
Yep.
Okay.
And then we stayed in England, and we were in England, and the bullets got fired up then, you know, in December, whatever it was. And we were in England just waiting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they flew us into France, and then we walked, I think, 10,000 miles getting to the bullets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's, you know, I always said it was 6 foot deep, but it wasn't that bad. It was only a couple or so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I got wounded on January 7th of 45.
Okay.
Got hit in the face.
Okay.
And they, of course, I went to the hospital and laid in there for a little bit, and they patched my nose up and stuck me some teeth in my mouth and mm-hmm. sent me back to the outfit. And then in March the 24th, we jumped the Rhine at Wesel, Germany.
Oh, okay.
And I got hit in the legs,
Mm-hmm. So when you said you went back to the hospital, that wasn't back to England, it was just back to the...
No, it's a field deal.
Okay.
Just a field hospital there in Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
Or wherever, France, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the exact deal.
Okay.
I didn't plan on writing the book.
Right. But... when you were shot, you were engaged in what, clearing out an area with...
No, he was making an attack the first time.
Okay.
And, you know, I got a German 88 shell
mm-hmm.
got me.
Mm-hmm.
Hit me in the face, and et cetera.
Yeah.
which, yeah, it wasn't all that bad, but I mean, it was, you know, I lost my teeth, and, yeah. And as a matter of fact, I still have shrapnel in my nose.
Oh, you do?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Five little pieces, shiny things in there.
Hmm. Yeah. Were you surprised that they sent you back to your unit?
Oh, no.
No, you knew that.
No, I knew they would. I wasn't all that bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? But I was bad the second time.
When you got shot in the legs?
It hit me in the left knee and the right thigh. Mm-hmm. And they finally, we was across the Rhine, and we was in the middle of everything. And they finally got some pontoons, and after about 2 days, and got me back across the Rhine into Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in Liège, Belgium for 4 months or so in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And while I was in the hospital, of course, the war over there was over with.
Mm-hmm. That's where you were when you heard it, mm-hmm. that it was over.
I was in the hospital.
Okay. Could you describe, as you know, they flew you in when the Battle of the Bulge was taking place, can you describe moving up, how that was, and what maybe a daily routine would have been?
Walk.
Walk, okay.
With a machine gun on your shoulder, ammunition,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Snow,
yeah.
Cold, bad.
And you had, definitely bad, yeah. And you had your food with you, your K-rations?
K-rations, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
K-rations and so forth. It's not nice.
No. Well, okay, again, were you marching on roads? Were you cutting across the country?
Mostly pass.
Okay.
Maybe a road.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know the truth, I don't know where in the hell I was at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, were you still in charge of a certain group of men?
Yes.
Okay, and
yes.
Then someone would be telling you where to take them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Our platoon officer was a second lieutenant,
mm-hmm.
and then we had a platoon leader and so forth, you know, on down, you
mm-hmm.
know. And I just was lucky to ever make sergeant, and I got more money.
Yeah.
That's the reason I joined the paratroopers, to get $50 a month.
Oh, okay.
Because glider pay didn't pay anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 3 weeks after I finished jump school, going through all that, they started paying glider pay.
Oh, okay. But now by the time you got over there, they had done away with the gliders?
No.
No, they still were doing it.
No, they still had them.
Okay. Yeah. Gliding, that would have not been as easy. Would it have been as jumping out?
There ain't nothing easy.
Okay. Okay.
Ain't nothing easy.
Yeah. But now once you hit the ground in the Battle of the Bulge, did you still continue?
We were on foot going into the Bulge. It was snow and everything. We walked all the way in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how long did it take you? I know you were injured. How long did it take you to get up to the Rhine? Well, you were injured again.
Well, after I went back to the unit that was in after the Bulge time, after I went back to the unit, we was in Belgium or someplace, and we just laid there and sat there until we crossed the Rhine.
Okay. All right. Were you aware of what was going on in the other theaters of war as you were in that particular?
Once in a while, they'd brief us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we knew something was, you know, whatever was going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't in constant day to day.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the at that time wasn't the airborne objective.
Okay.
It was just a shock troop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and mm-hmm. you go in or fly in or whatever, and then you're there for a little bit and then you're relieved.
Mm-hmm.
At that time.
Yeah. Were you receiving letters from home? Were you sending letters home?
Once in a while.
Yeah. But they probably couldn't tell you anything, what they knew about the war.
You couldn't write anything. They'd scratch it out or
mm-hmm.
whatever. You know, everything was sent to you.
Yeah.
Coming in, going out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you crossed the Rhine and were injured and then eventually got back to the hospital. What was the care like that you got, the medical care?
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Had German war prisoners, a ward guy.
Okay. All right. Well, that was a little different.
And, you know, all it was is, you know, I had my right leg is way up on my thigh. It just cut all the meat out to the bone.
Oh.
And so they was letting it grow out. Mm-hmm. Grow out. Well, you know, I got gangrene in there, and that set me back quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But my left knee, it sawed off part of a bone mm-hmm. on the inside, cut it off, and I had a hard time ever learning how to walk again.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because there wouldn't be anything they could have done for that.
Not a whole lot.
Yeah. And how long were you in that hospital?
About 4 months.
4 months, and then you were shipped.
And then after I got out of there, the 17th Airborne was in Germany. And so they sent me back into Germany, back to the outfit.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't there about 2 or 3 weeks, I guess, something like that. And, of course, the war was over, you know, and they broke the division up. And what was left of the 17th, they sent to the 13th Airborne, which is over there, that never was involved.
Mm-hmm.
And then they was sending the 13th Airborne to Japan. Well, in August, when we was on the ship headed for the States, luckily that war was over.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to, when we landed in New York, why, what do you do with a guy? They didn't want me.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent me home on furlough for, I don't know, a month and a half or so.
Mm-hmm.
And finally they sent me back into, what, Camp Crowder, I think it was, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And I was discharged.
Mm-hmm. Did you find it interesting, though, that they would send you back to your unit and then you were on your way to Japan? I mean, how could you...
I wasn't going to go to Japan anyway. I had too many points.
Oh, I see. Okay. But you weren't capable, really, were you?
No.
Yeah.
I couldn't have walked very far.
Well, no.
Uh-uh. No, it was just a dispersal, basically.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you gain the points? By?
Time. Injuries.
Uh-huh.
Purple Heart twice.
Okay. For both times you were injured.
Mm-hmm.
And did you receive that at the time or when you got out?
Yeah, I got the Purple Heart over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they gave it to me there. And, of course, the second time is not a Purple Heart. It's a cluster. It's an oak leaf gold cluster.
Oh, okay.
And you just put that in your ribbon to wear.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so then you were discharged, and you were in basically 2 years?
2.5 years, from April of 43 to October of something.
Okay, 45, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, then we need to, let me go back and we'll probably backtrack.
Okay.
When you got over there, did you feel that the training you had received over here was adequate to, that you knew what to do when?
I hope so.
Well, it must have been. You survived.
Yeah, I was lucky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and probably skillful too, though.
Lucky ones live and unlucky ones die.
Is that...
You kill or be killed.
Okay. Yeah.
That's just like this deal now.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy goes out and shoots some civilians, they say, over there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they cry and say, well, he was unarmed. How do you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's my theory.
Mm-hmm.
You shoot first. You don't never want to shoot second.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because you might not be able to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And, but, okay, so that part of the training was adequate, and... If I could rephrase, you believe that you did what you had to survive, and that's what you need to do, you won't survive.
That's the name of the game.
Mm-hmm. Were there were evidently people who didn't have that attitude.
I don't know about that. I think everybody wanted to live
mm-hmm.
and do what they could, but just like I say, you know, some people's unlucky. Some guy's unlucky, and some mm-hmm. guy, I'm lucky.
Yeah. So you think luck played an important role?
I do.
Mm-hmm. As you were marching up, how would you be protected, for instance, at night? Would you dig foxholes? Would you find buildings? Or?
Well, I remember on my birthday, the 31st of December, we were still trying to get in there, walking in. We slept in an old barn that night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What a way to celebrate your birthday. Do you have other particular memories of, or a particular person, or a particular incident of that time when you were?
Not especially. We were all in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, you just do what you got to do.
Right. Yeah.
To survive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And survive, I suppose, physically, but also survive as...
mentally.
Mm-hmm. That is that the hardest part, do you think?
It probably is.
And what...
I know guys that shot themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Couldn't stand the pressure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And some guys just went off of it and run around like a madman, you know, and just, and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you had spare time, I guess, time in which you, all these thoughts might just flood in, how would you get yourself where you could cope with it or could deal with it? Did you have... ways of doing that, just putting it out of your mind?
Well, I'd probably go to the beer garden, get drunk, and go back and mm-hmm. shape up, and here we go again.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's probably an adequate way of doing it.
Well, I don't... you yeah. know. I,
mm-hmm.
But what else would you do?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know that. Yeah. See, because most people have not been in situations like that. And most people do not know what war is like. And I think that's the purpose here, that we're trying to understand how you all survived that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you gotta have guts and you got to be lucky.
Yeah, okay. Did
everybody says that God saved them. You got to be lucky.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was going to be my...
There's nothing wrong with God, but I don't really mm-hmm. get carried away that part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was going to be my next question, what if religious faith played a part in it and what part it played, but I think that, you know, you've answered that. Was your, did you really use your paratroop training once you got over there?
Well, the part about that is makes you physically fit.
Okay, all right. And mentally?
And if you ain't physically fit... and just hate the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Why, it's if you get to thinking too much about home and so forth, you're sunk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were there people who were not physically fit that didn't make it through basic training?
Yeah, I know a guy from that was in the other machine gun squad. He shot himself.
Oh.
I don't know what the deal was. Mm-hmm. Thought the guy was all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and but he did, and then you know, some guys just was a nervous wreck,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. various things. Mm-hmm. I don't know how come I was that way.
Well, you're tough, evidently.
I don't know about that, but.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But your attitude seemed to be the right attitude to have. Yeah. Do you remember? And this is backtracking a little bit. When you left the United States, you were on a ship with hundreds of...
Yeah.
Do you remember what you were thinking as you were heading out across that ocean?
You know, we was on an old luxury liner.
Mm-hmm.
And the weather was perfect. And it was just like being on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Except all these gunships around us.
So you were in a convoy going over.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How long did it take you to...
I don't remember. I think it several days. Mm-hmm. Several days.
And did you have duties while you were on ship?
Just eat and sleep.
Just eat and sleep and be on vacation.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. And when you landed in England, you said, were
right.
you there, did you go undergo more training there? Or?
Oh, we stayed in training constantly.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, you don't ever let up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We stayed in training constantly.
And were you able to have free time where you... could, you know, do some things in England?
Oh, yeah. You know, we was outside at Wyndham, and we was outside of, well, at Wyndham, and we went to London where we could, and
mm-hmm.
we was pretty well confined at that time.
Yeah, I would think so. Well, in London, was that was past, really, the bombing of London.
Yes, oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. We were lucky. We weren't in on the worst part.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't go in and on D-Day, and
yeah.
we were, well, luckily we were younger.
Right.
That's the whole deal.
Mm-hmm. As you, though, did, you know, cross the channel, move into Belgium, and then move on, could you see the ravages of war as what it had done?
All over the place.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on that?
War's hell.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Were you? I know when you said you were in the hospital, there was a German prisoner of war there that was in the ward. Did you have other?
Yeah, we had nurses.
Okay.
Yeah. We had some nurses, but you know, it's spread pretty thin at that time.
Yeah.
And this German guy, he just emptied bedpans and swept the floor and everything like that. He didn't do any medical thing.
Mm-hmm. Were you, as you moved across, did you come in contact, for instance, with the Belgian, the French people? Or?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've seen them all.
Mm-hmm. And then you moved across the Rhine, so you weren't really in Germany a long time. Because
No. Yeah. I wasn't in Germany. Well, of course, we jumped into Germany, but I wasn't in Germany, but, you know, probably a week or 2 weeks at the most.
Mm-hmm. So you really didn't come into contact with all that activity with the...
Well, the Germans, we were non-fraternization at that time. We weren't even supposed to speak to them.
Oh, the Germans.
They were enemies.
Okay. Okay. Well, I guess that's true, because the war was still...
Oh, yeah, they were enemies. You know, we was not having any personal contact.
Mm-hmm. What did you hear about, or did you hear, I guess, rumors, scuttlebutt, about maybe the war was winding up, the Germans were getting to a desperate point? Did you hear any talk about that, or did you just think, well, it's going to go on? And
you mean the war go on?
Yeah, the war. Mm-hmm.
No, they were falling back all the time. It was going to be over sooner or later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because they were just running short, you know.
Yeah. Okay. And did you? There were American moving in and moving out of the unit that you were in. Did you? Because one person told me that toward the end there were older Americans coming in.
Yes.
Okay.
And kids.
Well, you weren't far from a kid yourself.
Well, I was 19 when I went in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they was real young, or you know, 40.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that was because that's what we were down to here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, is there a fellow soldier, maybe an officer that you remember well, that you kept in contact with, that you could talk about?
I haven't kept in contact,
okay.
You know, because I was come from here out in western Kansas, and the majority of the guys were from Ohio and Pennsylvania and back in there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them from back in there at that time, that mm-hmm. bunch of, we was all basically about the same age.
Okay. Did you ever run into anyone from Kansas or from this area?
There's a man out here by Ensign, Arnold Hartnett,
mm-hmm.
that was in the same division, but he was in a different company
okay.
than I was.
All right.
And there was another guy, Weimer, Bud Weimer, Charles Weimer, but he died.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you were basically, you didn't encounter very many people that you knew
no.
when you were in there.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't know really in my... In an individual company there, I didn't know anybody to start
mm-hmm.
with.
Yeah, okay. All right, you've already said where you were when the war in Europe and when the war in Japan ended for you and how you came back. When you came back, did you have an idea of what you were going to do?
I guess not. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have any idea. Mm-hmm. And... I chose not to go to school, which probably I should have gone to school.
Mm-hmm. On the GI Bill?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I didn't. And so, you know, then I just went on and worked.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you on a farm before?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
I was born and raised north of Cimarron.
Oh, okay.
On a farm.
Okay, and then you came back to Cimarron?
Yes, that's where the folks were.
Okay, all right, and then you've been here ever since?
Mm-hmm. I left Cimarron in 51. I was working for a dirt contractor that we leveled land.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved to Dodge.
Okay.
Then, because mm-hmm. he was out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I've been here ever since.
Yeah. Well, but now your injuries, they were significant, weren't
yes.
they, in your choice of the work that you could do? Were services available for you through the veterans after that? Okay.
Yeah, I draw a 50% disability.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know that we hear a lot about sometimes that soldiers aren't served well by the Veterans Administration, and I just didn't know if they had that in place after the war. Or...
Well, I found out at 50 years too late that you have to just ride them until they get sick of you, and they'll give you something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I did.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. You learned that eventually,
yeah,
I guess.
But it's too late.
Well.
But before that, I didn't have time. I was chasing and running and taking care of my domestic life. And
right.
So.